From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, December 6, 2017. And on this day, criticism of Senator Susan Collins from environmentalists because the Republican tax bill allows oil and gas exploration in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, mineral mining in northern Maine, and the continuing possibility of a U.S. government shutdown. That's ahead in just a moment. First tonight, Oxford County Sheriff Wayne Gallant has resigned after admitting to sending a lewd photo of himself to a woman 2 years ago and after allegations that he solicited sex from co-workers. Gallant's lawyer, Jim Martimucci, says Gallant made the decision after long discussions with his family, his priest, and with Martimucci.
He feels very honored and privileged to have served the citizens of Oxford County for 11 years and to have served other communities as a law enforcement officer. But beyond that, we have nothing further to say. He hopes this matter is now at an end.
Governor Paula Page will name a replacement to serve out the remainder of Gallant's term. It is likely that lawsuits will be filed by those alleging Gallant's workplace misbehavior. As Republicans look to reconcile key differences between the House and Senate versions of their tax bills, one of the flashpoints is around a remote eastern corner of Alaska, the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. It's considered one of the most pristine wilderness areas in the country, and the Senate bill includes a provision to open up 1.5 million acres to oil and gas exploration. As Susan Sharon reports, because Maine Senator Susan Collins supported the tax bill, she's now finding herself under fire from some key environmental allies.
She's been praised by environmental groups in Maine and around the country for accepting climate science. She was the only Senate Republican who voted against preventing the Environmental Protection Agency from regulating greenhouse gases. Earlier this year, she voted against the nomination of Scott Pruitt to head the agency. And her voting record on environmental issues has earned high marks from the League of Conservation Voters. But with the inclusion of drilling in the ANWR in the Senate tax bill and her support for that, Collins is facing a new wave of scrutiny from these same groups.
It's completely against how she has voted in the past.
Lisa Pullman is the executive director of the Natural Resources Council of Maine, who calls the move a giveaway to the oil and gas industry. This week, the NRCM took out an online newspaper ad expressing disappointment in Collins' vote.
It's too bad. You know, we're trying to do so many things on the renewable energy and on the climate change front here in Maine, and she's basically been supportive of those things. So this is a really unreasonable departure on her part as far as we're concerned.
Maine conservation voters also expressed disappointment in Collins. We urge her to protect our natural legacy by working to remove this damaging language before the bill becomes law, Executive Director Maureen Druin said in a written statement. Collins' spokesperson points out that she was the only Senate Republican who voted unsuccessfully for an earlier budget amendment to raise revenue through drilling in the Arctic. Supporters, such as Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, see potential oil drilling in the ANWR as a way to pay for a small portion of the massive tax cuts. And Kara Moriarty, president and CEO of the Oil and Gas Association, says it's something a majority of Alaskans have wanted for a long time.
We've been producing oil in Alaska commercially for over 50 years and on the North Slope for over 40. And to us, this coastal plain of ANWR is just an extension of what we already know how to do.
Moriarty says Alaskans also know how to balance the interests of their unique environment with their natural resource-based economy. Critics point out that Congress has voted several dozen times to reject drilling in the ANWR, which is home to polar bears, wolves, migratory birds, and one of Alaska's largest populations of porcupine caribou. That's why groups like the Wilderness Society were running ads even before the Senate's vote.
The Arctic National Wildlife Refuge is one of the last truly wild places on Earth. But Congress is pushing a scheme to drill America's Arctic Refuge that would pollute it beyond repair to create tax cuts for millionaires and billionaires.
Colin O'Meara, the CEO of the National Wildlife Federation, is now encouraging his members to contact Senator Collins and other environmental leaders in Congress to insist that a final tax package not include the ANWR provision.
We need to raise up a conservation army across the country, have our voices heard, because the polling on this stuff is overwhelming. And more than well over 70% of Americans do not want drilling in the Arctic, and it's hard to get 70% of Americans to agree on anything right now.
O'Meara says it's clear where independent Senator Angus King stands on the issue. He's been consistent in his opposition all along. But Collins, he says, will be crucial if the ANWR provision is included in the final tax bill. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
Another story now from Washington, D.C. The federal government runs out of authority to spend money on Friday night at midnight, and that means once again there could be a partial shutdown of the federal government. But at least two of Maine's members of Congress believe a showdown will be averted for now. Mel Leary has more.
Republican leaders are discussing a short-term continuing resolution to continue to run the government and allow work on the two different tax bills passed by the House and Senate. Senator Susan Collins, who serves on the Senate Appropriations Committee, says a lot of work has been done on the 12 bills aimed at funding government through next October.
Our bill has been out of committee for months. It was passed unanimously by the Appropriations Committee, and I just wish it would be brought to the Senate floor and that we could go through the normal process.
Congresswoman Shelley Pingree, who serves on the House Appropriations Committee, is not optimistic about action being taken in the House, at least on any long-term funding proposals.
Oh, absolutely not. It's a chaotic time in Washington, and the government will shut down on Friday if we don't deal with this issue.
She says House Republicans are clashing over several issues. Some groups, such as the Freedom Caucus, want a simple continuing resolution for 2 weeks to allow the tax bill to be finalized. But many of the GOP members of the Armed Services Committee want to lift spending caps now in place on military spending and boost defense appropriations for the rest of the federal budget year. Pingree says all of that maneuvering has the potential to cause a shutdown.
Who knows what will get mixed into this, you know, question about what's in the budget, what's in the appropriations, as a way to stop it. The fact is it requires Republican and Democratic votes generally, you know, to pass a bill to keep the government going.
Collins says continuing resolutions are not the way to fund the government. She says the process locks in outdated spending levels and ignores the months of work of the appropriations committees in the House and Senate to set new spending priorities, such as tackling the nation's opioid crisis. But she says she will support another CR if absolutely necessary.
That's not a good approach, but it's a lot better than letting government shut down.
Both Collins and Pingree are worried that even if Congress passes a 2-week funding resolution, there'll be no agreement reached on a budget for the rest of the year. And that points to another continuing resolution, as all of the unresolved funding issues are pushed into the new year. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
Central Maine Power Company is ramping up publicity around its bid to bring electricity from Canada through Maine and down to Massachusetts. It says it's the cheapest alternative. Fred Bever has more.
Massachusetts is looking for as much as 1,200 megawatts of electricity from renewable energy sources, and many stakeholders say the Bay State's RFP puts an emphasis on energy from Canada's massive Hydro-Quebec dam system. Bulk transmission lines are being proposed under Lake Champlain in Vermont and through New Hampshire's White Mountains, some of that underground. CMP's proposal would sluice the energy from Beatty Township in the northwestern corner of Maine through the Forks to Lewiston and then south. But until now, CMP has not released a firm cost figure. Now, CEO Sarah Byrne says it would cost $950 million, $250 million less than the announced cost of the next cheapest competitor for the Hydro-Québec link.
We're building overhead in a controlled route, which is the least expensive solution. If you take those messages and add them up, I think most people in the business would know that's probably the least expensive solution.
Burns says that under the terms of the RFP, Massachusetts consumers would pay the entire bill. Massachusetts regulators will make their choice early next year. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
And finally today, dreams of excavating mineral riches in northern Maine have persisted since the late 70s, when a geological survey confirmed significant deposits of zinc, copper, silver, and lead in the region. Since then, mining companies have had their eyes on the Pickett Mountain area north of Patton, but they've been discouraged in large part by excavation costs and prevailing metal prices. Now, new mining regulations and changes in technology have rekindled the interest of one mineral speculator. A.J. Higgins has our story.
This year's acquisition of the 6,900-acre Pickett Mountain parcel by a Canadian survey company has reinvigorated the debate over mining in northern Maine. But Donald Hoy, president and CEO of the Wolfden Resources Corporation of Thunder Bay, Ontario, told about 75 residents Tuesday night that while mining could be part of northern Maine's future, there are still years of test drilling ahead.
Exploration is in many ways an unknown. A lot of surprises come up.
Hoy told the audience at the Stacyville Elementary School that the property was purchased because it's part of the same rock formation that runs from the productive Bathurst mining camp on New Brunswick's North Shore. As he outlined the company's survey and drilling plans that could extend well into 2019, Hoy provided some details about Wolfden's aerial geological survey technique using a dream catcher. A 50-foot circle with spoke-like sensors that will be guided at low-level altitudes over the region by a helicopter and will give off a signal.
That signal is interacting with whatever's in the subsurface, and if there's a metallic source, what happens is that a secondary magnetic field is created, and that's what the receiver picks up. So you're measuring different properties. So discoveries have been made by using the dream catcher. That's why they call it the dream catcher. And it's most recent and up-to-date technology for airborne geophysics.
Hoy went on to say that his company would be hiring two or three local residents to assist with the surveys right away, and that 10 years from now, a working mine could employ more than 100 people. While many of those present at the session applauded during Hoy's presentation, others remained skeptical. Shelley Mountain, a Mapleton resident and a member of the Association for the Protection of Aroostook Waters, said she and others worry that any kind of a mining operation would be a major setback for the region. Mountain says she's heard claims before of how mines create jobs, but she isn't swayed.
I think in Aroostook, when this first started, there were probably a lot of people who felt that way, that they were encouraged that there be employment. But as the meetings went along and people in Aroostook learn more about how there are no mines anywhere, the metallic mines that don't pollute, then I think most of Aroostook is opposed to it now.
Nick Bennett, a staff scientist with the Natural Resources Council of Maine, says the Wolfden Pickett Mountain survey is a very preliminary project with environmental data implications that the company has thus far not shared. Bennett says he wants to know more about sulfur levels in the geological formation or what other contaminants, such as arsenic, might be present.
We need to understand that in order to get a better sense of what the risks are associated with this proposed mine.
Bennett says the streams in the area are known for their high water quality and that miners will want to ensure that current mining and water quality standards are met. That's a goal that Bennett says could be very difficult to meet for Wolfden or any of its business partners. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm A.J. Higgins.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Wednesday, December 6, 2017. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.